The reading is taken from Romans 8, verses 1 to 11, and can be found on page 918 of the Pew Bibles. Life in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us, speak through us, that the people of Lock's Heath will see and hear and experience the good news of Jesus. In his name, amen. Well, I said it's Sea Sunday today, and you have the opportunity of going down to Wasash this evening if you want to. But my only mention of Sea Sunday today, since I failed to find a joke about the Navy that I could tell in good, reasonable company, is that if you note the Gospel reading, Jesus preached the parable of the sower from a boat. So there we go. When you set out to prepare a sermon for a Sunday like today, the normal practice, of course, is that you go to this little book, the lectionary. It has all the readings for the whole Christian year. And you always go to it with slight trepidation because you're wondering, what will the readings be for today? You know, will they be sort of the back chapters of the prophet Habakkuk or something really complicated about mildew or something from the Old Testament? And there's a lot about mildew in the Old Testament. You probably haven't read it, but it's there. And today was quite the opposite. I went to today's readings and I thought, well, what an embarrassment of riches. We've got the story of Jacob and Esau and how Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. We've got Psalm 119, beginning at verse 105, which was, if you remember, I told you last time I preached, I used to memorize scripture verses. It was quite the thing to do when I was a student. And one of the first ones I memorized was Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. All about the riches of the Bible and how important it is in finding our way through life. And I thought, well, there's a good sermon in Jacob and Esau. There's a good sermon in Psalm 119, 105. What are the New Testament readings? Oh my goodness, Romans 8, 1 to 11. And then the parable of the sower. I mean, there's 100 sermons here. You only get one this morning. It's all right. It was really quite exciting, and I thought, spoilt for choice. So, I'm going to try and link our two New Testament readings. And I'm going to start with the beginning of Romans 8, because it's another memory verse. If you don't take anything else away from this morning's service, take this verse, or two verses actually, and see if you can commit them to memory, and they're very good if you're lying awake at night and can't get to sleep, and you've said the 23rd Psalm to yourself two or three times. This is it. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Just savor that verse for a moment or two. Paul has spent the first 7 chapters of the book of Romans setting out the problem of sin, the way in which the death and resurrection of Jesus cuts through our estrangement from God. And he said there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles in this respect. All have sinned. Do you remember the last sermon I preached? No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jews trapped in legalism. Gentile pagans trapped in licentious living. But all the same, in need of being set free from the law of sin and of death. He talks for 7 chapters, and he doesn't exempt himself from this, because in chapter 7 he's saying, I wish I could do the right thing, but I so often find myself doing the wrong thing. He struggles when his human nature gets in the way of his spiritual life. But then we come to chapter 8, and it's like a huge sigh of relief. After all this agonizing, all this setting out of things, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And there's something else interesting about these verses that we've read, because in the first 7 chapters of Romans, Paul has only mentioned the Holy Spirit 2 or 3 times. And yet, in this 11 verses, he talks about the Holy Spirit 7 times. And he talks 3 times about the Holy Spirit who lives in you and me. Those of us who are in Christ, he's saying, those of us who are free from the law of sin and death, have the Spirit of Christ living in us, the Holy Spirit living in us. If I put my trust in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives in me. And that's another huge relief, because we don't fight these battles on our own. The Spirit of God is within us. And if the Spirit of Jesus lives in us, it should show. In Galatians, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, 9-fold fruit, if you like. And if you look at an apple tree at the right time of year, you expect apples. If you look at a pear tree, you expect pears. If you look at a peach tree, you expect peaches. And if you look at a church full of Christians who are full of the Holy Spirit of God, then you expect the fruit of the Spirit. The world looks to the church to see people full of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And when it sees them, it's amazed. It looks on in amazement. Which brings us to our gospel reading. Jesus interpreted the parable of the sower. The seed is thrown everywhere. Not necessarily sensible places, we're not quite sure about this farmer, but he's distributing the seed everywhere. And in the interpretation of the parable, the seed is the word of the kingdom. What is the word of the kingdom? Well, it can only be the good news of Jesus. That's what's scattered into the world, and that's what takes root in some and not in others. In some, it's snatched away by the devil. In others, it's choked by the weeds of wealth and comfort. In others, it springs up but doesn't have any proper root. But that good news is just the same good news. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets me free from the law of sin and death. And in the parable, the different soils are people who hear this word of the kingdom, this good news of Jesus. But who's the sower? Well, I venture to suggest that you are. And I am. Because how are people going to hear the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news of Jesus, the good news that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, unless we tell them? We're the ones who know. We're the ones who are filled with the Spirit of God to take that message to the world around us. And how are we going to sow this word of God? Well, we could stand in the street and shout at people. You've seen it done. You can also see the wide berth around the person who's doing it. I'm sure they feel they're doing God's will, but it's not actually very effective. Flinging words at people is pointless unless they want to listen. And why would they want to listen? Only if they see in us what they do not see in others. Love, joy, peace, patience, the fruit of the Spirit. And then something occurred to me. Getting near the end, it's all right, you can relax. Something occurred to me. When I look at a fruit tree, I'm looking at it because I'm looking for something nice to eat. An apple, a pear, plum. But from the tree's point of view, what's the fruit for? Why? The fruit is where the seeds are. Ah, that's the only purpose of fruit, as far as the tree is concerned. The only purpose of fruit is to bear seeds. And so, when we're called, if we want to be a church that knows God and makes God known. We need to be sharing the good news of the kingdom. And the best way of doing that is to sow the seed of the word of God. But the seed comes from the fruit. And the fruit is the way we appear to the world, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience. To show the world how much we love one another. To show the world how deep is the peace of knowing Jesus. To show the world how full is our joy in our gift of eternal life through Christ. To show the world how the Holy Spirit in us helps us to be patient, good, kind, gentle, faithful, self-controlled people. May not be our human nature, but it is the nature of Jesus. And if we let him have his way, who knows what we might achieve in his name. Amen.